It's life is so interesting. We're living backwards. We should start off life wandering around and trying to learn things and having X number of dollars and all, rather than having that show up at the end. Because at the end, so many people are so beaten up by life.
Yeah.
It's really a shame. I was looking at some ways to grow bump. And one of the things I'm looking at is doing some speaking. And I'm thinking, well, what groups would be good to speak to? And the other day, the idea of people facing retirement are facing a significant bump. I mean, they're going to lose their identity. They're going to lose their source of income. They're going to lose their routines. They may move to a new place. It's a whole different mindset. And when you go online and you start looking around, what I found was that there are essentially two memes out there. One is that you're old and frail with, IV lines in your arm and you're ready to die. You're in hospice, essentially.
Right.
Or you're super wealthy. You have perfect silver hair. You're with your spouse on a golf course. There's nothing in between.
You're so right. Absolutely right. You're with it dying.
Doing a little bit of a research on retirement or seniors, as they call it. Seniors, please spare me. And it's really terrifying the way that this age group is portrayed, where really it should be just a wonderful period of time of following whatever it is that intrigues you or interests you and those little things that you never had a chance to look at before, and maybe a time of reflection too. I mean, there are so many benefits that could come from that. But I was just astonished when I started realizing how all these perceptions just try to mold our view of the world. And no matter what, it's lose-lose. You're never that.
Right.
And that's not a satisfying place anyway. But what set all this off, I went out to a dinner with a meetup group. And they're all retired. And they were so boring. Oh, my God. There was one woman.
Well, you got to invite me next time.
There was one woman who talked about how for like 37 years or whatever, she drove a route to visit these gift shops and sell them products. And she did it through rain, snow, and sleet and everything else. And I thought, oh my God, that was, and she would be on the road all week and she'd go home for a day and then she'd do it again. And I thought, how could you possibly do that for such a long period of time? I mean, there was just nothing reflective about any of it. It just bowled me over. And it goes back to the notion that most people don't want to change. They don't want adventure. They're terrified of risk. I mean, it's just what are they doing? Why are they here?
I think that's why you and I get along so well, because I think we share a view of the world, which is very similar in our own, unique way, of course. And that is that every day is a new day. And it is so powerful because it is a new day. I don't care if you're 18 or 80. Like, there's something to see in this world, something you've never experienced before. And to your point, if you stay in the same place, thinking the same thing, soaking in the same energy of everybody else, you're never going to see it. And I try not to get depressed thinking about that. I never get depressed thinking about it, but I mean, everybody's got their own path. But when I think about why I do what I do, it's to open people's eyes. And that's how meditation, that's where meditation shines, is like we all go through life with a veil over our eyes as to what life could be. And slowly but surely, it's like with meditation practice, you're like,
it all comes from within. It doesn't come from outside of you.
No.
People are terrified to look within.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really a shame because I think they're missing the point of being here. And that is to learn.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
On an emotional, spiritual level.
It's funny because I remember reading, I don't know, it was a long time ago, but to your point, I think they say people are more, would rather have electric shocks. They did this experiment where people would rather have electric shocks than be alone with their thoughts. They would rather opt for physical pain than the perceived pain of being alone with their thoughts. I'm like, yeesh, that's heavy duty.
But I know people like that. I know people who force themselves to be constantly busy because they're terrified of being still for a moment because their thought.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what thoughts would come up that would be that bad. Everyone has painful thoughts.
Yeah.
But, you work through them. You face them. You deal with them. You figure them out.
Well, and you hopefully do. Well, or they just keep coming back.
Or they keep coming back. You know, until you they will be back until you do figure them out.
Yep.
There's no shortcut here.
No. This paralyzes you? Well, it's going to continue to paralyze you until you face it. I mean,
yeah. They just look like hamsters on a wheel. It's so sad.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all are sometimes. I mean, I don't mean to sound like I have it figured out or
no, I don't
holier than thou or anything like that.
You don't have it figured out. And I know everybody's got their own path, but I agree. The way I think about it with meditation, with the people I teach and with any people, is like I make my way, and I say this as humbly as possible. Our paths cross so that we can both see a different way of seeing life. And to the students that I teach and the people that come into my life, I'm like, your path is your path. And somehow, just like I talked about, a soul's path is going to say, no, this is the body to wake up in. So you're going to go, you're going to meet this lady, Pat, or you're going to meet this guy, Tom, and they're going to show you a different way, not a better way, not a worse way, just a different way. And if it resonates with you, fine. If it doesn't, fine. But you're so close on the edge that it probably is. And so when I see people who I'm just like, I don't know what your life is, so obviously I'm not going to judge. I can't judge. I don't know your life. But
no, you can't judge anybody.
No. But to our overarching point, I'm like, oh, life is beautiful if you get out of your own way. If you stop running from thoughts, stop embracing fear and fearful circumstances.
Stop embracing beliefs that aren't real.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And to my point that I brought up in the show is just like, all thoughts are fake. So why not think thoughts that are going to bring you joy and a smile? And sometimes it's tougher. Sometimes in my human self, way back in the day when I got fired, I'm like, oh, it's the worst thing ever. The last two jobs I got fired from way back in the day before doing my own thing, I walked out of those places smiling, beaming, thinking, I'm like, ah, cool. My human self caught up with my soul. I'm not supposed to be here anymore. Yay!
I know. I'm getting all these messages that I am not meant to be here. And I'll deal with it. I mean, you know, the plans are kind of in the works. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to come together, but it will. Yeah. But I'm just not meant to be here. I used to joke that I'm geographically sensitive, and I think I am, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because I grew up on my dad still lives right on the shore, right across the street from the harbor in Duxbury, right next to Plymouth. And I grew up next to the ocean all the time. In the times that I have not been near an ocean, I'm like, something's wrong. I don't feel right. I went to Chicago once, and I love cities every now and then to go to art museums and different restaurants. But even though there was Lake Michigan, like I went to Chicago, I'm like, there's no ocean. I'm like, I am trapped. I am trapped here. I'm like, what is going on? And I definitely think people are the good news is more sensitive people realize that. Sometimes people are like, they're not where they're supposed to be, and comfort or safety or the perceived security that keeps them there, and they're miserable. They're like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. Not really, but you're not ready to move yet. So,
I think some people just maybe aren't that geographically sensitive.
Yeah, maybe.
That's and I think too, some people like the hubbub of, I like visiting a city. I don't want to live there because it's never dark and it's never quiet.
Right.
And many other reasons too. But,
yeah, exactly.
But I think for a lot of people that provides the external stimulus that, allows them to not think.
Mm, yeah.
That
yeah,
not exactly. be, not be present.
Yeah, all the flashing lights, all the sounds.
Yeah.
Like, cool. I'm immersed in distraction. Awesome.
That's a good term, immersed in distraction.
Yeah, right.
I may steal that. That's really good.
And it's so funny because some people, like to our point, some people be like, yeah, that's exactly life. And for us, we're like, no. Absolutely not.
And to each his own. The only thing I would wish for people is that they find their own place of peace.
Yep.
And a little bit of eternity in that, maybe, a sense of that.
I don't know if I shared this with you when we were talking, when you were on my show, but one of the things I had to really kind of get behind or take into my heart was when I think about my life, it hasn't been all, you know, like I said, it's not roses and kittens, and I wouldn't want it to be, but for the most part, my life has been pretty blessed. you know, to live, to have grow up with parents that absolutely adored me, and to live in an idyllic place. But to my point is, like, we have to see things as a gift, you know, every experience as a gift, and we can't be so fearful that we run at every turn. And one of the things that that led up to this point is that in my meditations, I'm like, God, I wish everybody had a life like mine. And I know not just like mine, but I wish people could be happy. I want all people to be happy. And in my meditation, at the time it was sad, but now I totally get it. It's like my guide saying, that's your path for today, for now. It's not everybody's path. Some people will go throughout this life in abject pain and sorrow and suffering, and they will get to a place where they're like in another body or another mindset where they're like, no, this isn't my path. This is a path I'm perceiving as my path, but it's not my true path, and I can change at any time. And so your desire to want people to be happy is admirable and noble, but it will cause you great pain if you think that everybody has the ability to be happy. They can, but it's just not in their path. And maybe it's not this iteration, maybe it's another incarnation, but all you can do is shine your light, and the people that are supposed to see your light will see your light. And the people that aren't, wish them well, help them find their path, however that is, whether it be this body or another body, and just send light to them wherever you can. And know that if you're meant to change somebody's life by being in your life, and that's not an arrogant thing, because people change my life every day, but you can't save the world. Just save the art that you can.
I think more than anything, if you're true to yourself and true to your path, that will have the most profound impact on others.
Absolutely.
And it'll be, you'll hit the right person at the right time. You really have no control over it. So you really need to focus on what it is that you're doing, what the energy is that you're putting out through ups and downs.
Right.
And I think that's all you can do.
And that's a great remembrance, because one of the things I get in my meditations all the time is that, and I'm sure maybe you get these, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like many times my guys will say, you have no idea how impactful you are to people. When you are in the world, you're like, you have no idea. When you smile at people, do you know how much that changes their lives? Do you know how much somebody else's smile changes your life? Do you know that when you wake up and you leave your house, that you are a beacon? I'm like, yeah, I get that. It's like, no, sometimes you don't. Think about it for a moment. Think about the people that see you. Do you imagine, can you imagine what some people's lives are like? I don't think you can. And I get these in my meditation all the time. It's like, so when you think that, quote, business might not be as abundant as it is, I'm like, the change you're making in the world doesn't happen from a course, doesn't happen from teaching somebody meditation. Your gift to the world is you, not with what you'll do. And your society says that your worth is judged by what you produce, whether that be you producing a course, teaching this many people how to meditate. That's not it.
Nobody looks at what you own.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What you own. Yeah.
It's like, nobody looks at a baby and says, God, you're a waste. You're not even doing anything. People look at a baby and they're just like, God, you're magnificent, because they're just light and love. And nobody has imprinted the need for them to do anything, to be anything. It's just like, you're just beautiful, just sitting there spitting, crapping, laughing, giggling, crying. You're beautiful.
and that goes back to the experiential piece. And I think so much of adult life is really a quest back to that innocence. And I'm not sure that it's totally discoverable, but I think it is partly discoverable.
And that's a great, excuse me, great point, because you're right. It is and it isn't, because, I mean, we know, of course, being with our culture, it's like, as you get older, it's like, oh, well, you're moving far away from being useful and vital. So do whatever you can. I don't care if you have to inject crap into your lips, into your face, you know, tuck this, nip that.
And only 40-year-olds have the wisdom of the world.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And to that point, you're absolutely correct. And some people go the exact opposite. My brother, I love him to death, but he lives in the past. He's like, oh, I remember when I was on the football team in high school, and like, it's like, favorite number is 89, because that's what his number was in football. I'm like, everything he says is just about going back to the past. And I love him, of course. And I try and gently.
Oh, but like, that's sad.
Yeah, that's what I tell him. I'm like, and I don't put a judgment. I'm like, it's, no. On some level, it's working for you. But I'm like, bro, this world is beautiful right now. I'm like, you know, he'll think about, you know, obviously, I think my mom's death impacted him much more profoundly because of, you know, the loss, and not the perception that he can speak with her in whatever way that is. But mom was love and in the past, whereas I'm like, dude, love is all around. And don't shield yourself from it. Don't run from it. Just be here and understand that this moment is beautiful. You don't have to go back to the quote glory days. I'm like, these are the glory days right now, right here.
And the glory days are an illusion.
Yeah,
because
that's
true too. You know, they're memories that you've assembled to tell a certain story.
Right.
But if you were real, if you were honest, you could go back and reassemble that a whole bunch of different ways.
Oh yeah. I love that because I love being the age that I am right now. I wouldn't go back to any of it. But to your point, hindsight is 20/20. I'm like, somebody says, oh man, I wish I was in my 20s again. I'm like, not me. I'm like,
no.
I meditated, but my life was a shit show. I was like drama rich. I was like fretting this, fretting that. This person's a dick. This person like likes me. I'm like, no, I never.
I'd go back if I could have the knowledge I have now. Yeah. Then I'd go back. But that's. I don't think that's the proposition.
No, I don't. I don't think that's in the human cards. But the other thing to think about too is, and maybe that's why you and I are so young, is that. My mom told me a long time ago, she's like, time, I mean, you know, thinking about what we were talking about before, she's like, time is not linear. She's like, past, present, and future are all happening now. And with that awareness, then we are feeling and living all of that. Much to your point, we can go back, kinda, because if we have the perception and the understanding that past, present, and future are all happening right now, that means in this being right now, is the baby that was me, is the 80-year-old that is me. All that is encapsulated in here, all of it, the youth, the vitality, the wisdom, the pain, and all that is wrapped up. And when we have that awareness that we are timeless, then every time, all time becomes part of who we are. And so when people see me and they're like, I think I told you, I'm like, Saturday is my birthday. I'm going to be 60 years old. And
happy birthday in advance.
Well, thank you. And my cousin texted me. He's like, hey, happy birthday. He's like, are you bummed out about 60? I'm like, oh my God, no. I'm the exact opposite. I'm ecstatic because A, nobody ever believes me when I tell them I'm 60. And I don't even believe me when I tell myself that I'm 60. I look at the calendar. I'm like, yeah. If I'm filling out something, it's like date of birth, January 27th, 1964. How is that possible?
Like, I know.
Like 5 years. How is this possible? It doesn't faze me at all. Every day. Sometimes when I wake up.
It's another arbitrary thing and an arbitrary external thing.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing. It's like, are you in the nursing home, you know, with the IV lines? Are you on the golf course?
I mean, it's your smart skirt and silver hair.
Oh, it's all illusion.
Yep.
And sadly, we're so ruled by so much illusion. But, you know,
yep,
there's
exactly.
So much you can do.
Well, it's so funny. My mom used to say this all the time, too. She's like, just play the game, sweetheart. It's okay. You know it's real. Just play the game.